Hey everybody, welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Today's episode of Locked On Orioles is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bar. On today's episode, we are going to dive into the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings that they have made so far post-MLB draft. Of course, they got six players in the draft a couple of weeks back, and we've previewed the four college guys. If you go back in the archives all of last week and the Friday previous as well, we looked at the Orioles' first-round pick out of Arkansas in Heston Kerstad. Last week, we looked at Jordan Westberg, the competitive balance round pick, the second round pick, Hudson Haskin, and the third round pick, Anthony Servideo. We had different guests on all four of those episodes to look at those guys. And probably next week, we're going to take a look at the two high school guys, Kobe Mayo in the fourth round and Carter Baumler in the fifth round that the Orioles took as well. But other than that, they've made six undrafted free agent signings so far. Of course, Major League Baseball putting a cap on those undrafted free agent signings, which is the five-round draft, and then the cap the players could not sign for more than $20,000. We haven't gotten the official numbers on any of these guys, but you have to believe most of them signed for right around that $20,000 mark to become undrafted free agents. There's six of them. We're going to start today with the first guy that the Orioles signed, and that is Ryan Watson, the 6'5" right-handed pitcher out of Auburn. Watson, who was a high school draft pick by the Dodgers, was taken in the 39th round back in 2016, but he decided to go to school, head to Auburn, as he is a native of Auburn High School, a hometown kid, and decided to play for the Tigers. And pitched 4 years for Auburn, pretty much exclusively out of the bullpen. And in his four seasons, you know, things were a little rough early. 2017, 18, and 19, he had ERAs over 4.75. He did make five starts in the span of those 3 years, mostly spot starts, didn't go deep into ballgames, but was mostly a reliever. The strikeout stuff was solid, but the walks were always an issue for him, as we will get to a little later here on this pod. But he turned things around in the shortened 2020 season. Now, he only pitched in five games in 2020, but he pitched 7 1/3 innings, allowed just one run on four hits, seven strikeouts, and just one walk in the senior season for the right-hander Ryan Watson. He also pitched a lot better down the stretch in 2019 for Auburn as they made it to the College World Series, and he became more and more of a reliable reliever down the stretch last year. And he's got good stuff, and that's why the Orioles decided to take a chance on the right-hander. And to tell us some more about Ryan Watson, what he can do, it does look like he will be a reliever at the next level, but we wanted to know where he will fit into a bullpen and how quickly he could try and advance up to the major league level. Already is 22 and will turn 23 later this year, so a little older than a lot of the guys when they enter the system, could help him move up a little quicker. So again, to talk about it, we will welcome in Josh Vitale. He is the Auburn Athletics beat writer for the Montgomery Advertiser, and he has been covering Auburn baseball for the last couple of years, along with other Tigers sports. And Josh Vitale joins us here to talk about the Orioles' undrafted free agent signing, the right-handed pitcher, Ryan Watson. And Josh, thank you so much for joining the pod today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And so we wanted to have you on as we continue to look at the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings, because obviously they mean a little bit more in this year's draft with there only being the five rounds. And the Orioles went out and got Ryan Watson, the right-hander from Auburn, who was a four-year reliever for the Auburn Tigers, who really was having by far his best season this year before the year was cut short. But just kind of the general Ryan Watson report, what was his role in that bullpen, you know, over 4 years, but especially these last two seasons, and how did he perform for the Tigers?
It took him a while, I think, to really kind of grow into the pitcher he is now that the Orioles signed. Because he's a big kid, throws hard, has good stuff, but for a while it didn't seem like he had it all kind of packaged together. He was inconsistent. He wasn't used much. He was used kind of, you know, in lopsided games in a long reliever kind of role as a midweek starter. But towards the end of his career, like you mentioned, late last season during Auburn's postseason run to the College World Series and early this season, he really started to kind of come into his own as a pitcher and started to be able to kind of corral that velocity and that stuff he has. And the numbers show, I mean, he pitched very well at the end of last season through that postseason run, had a couple scoreless appearances, including in a super regional, including in the College World Series. And then he got off to a really good start this year. He, in five appearances, seven innings, he had a 1.23 ERA, only allowed four hits, struck out seven, one walk. So he really started to get things going as his career progressed, which puts him in a good spot going into the pros.
Yeah, it seemed like he was one of the guys who always kind of had the stuff, but never really was able to put it together there until right at the end of his college career. Is that a fair assessment on him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the raw stuff was always there, but I think sometimes it does take time for a pitcher to transition from being a guy who can, you know, get outs in high school just because he throws hard and being able to, you know, really pitch. And you saw, and if you look at his numbers through his career, you can see the improvements. I mean, as a freshman, 5.17 ERA, sophomore 4.76, 2019 junior year ERA was higher, but towards the end of the season, he really got better. And then this year, obviously, he was off to a hot start, working with Tim Hudson, a longtime MLB veteran who's Auburn's pitching coach. So yeah, he had the stuff. It just kind of took a while for it to come together. He had an issue with walks early on in his career, but he really toned that down. I think he learned how to not just be a thrower, but more of a pitcher, which definitely is a huge part of development.
And some guys, when they start to figure it out, some guys have one moment, other guys it's just kind of over time. You talked about him working with Tim Hudson. Did he have some sort of moment, some sort of change, you know, in the middle of last season that got him to where he wanted to be, where a major league team would take a look at him and sign him this year?
No, I don't know if it was one moment. He did have some struggles early on last season. I think that the game that really stands out is Auburn lost the game at Mississippi State, where he gave up five runs on four hits in an inning. Just really got hit around. But he just, after that, his outings just started to get consistently better. You know, he's walking fewer guys, striking out more. A big weekend for him, two games Texas A&M, he pitched, came in good spots and didn't allow a run. Back-to-back days of relief. Then he got into the postseason, and he really pitched well in the postseason. I think, you know, going 2 2/3 scoreless, you know, at North Carolina Super Regional was big for him. Auburn lost against Louisville in the College World Series, but he pitched, you know, 1 2/3 scoreless in that game. So I think it was just kind of a progression over time of where things started to click for him.
And now, obviously, you had mentioned the midweek starts, and he made five starts in his 4 years, but I would guess that at the next level, he, you know, with the stuff he has and what he's done for most of his career, he'll be a reliever going forward, which is, you know, not something you see as much guys going into the minors already as relievers, but it looks like he might be one of those guys.
Yeah, he fits that mold. I mean, he's big, he throws hard, he's got pretty good stuff. He's never been a really, you know, long guy. You know, his long outings were, you know, three innings, maybe four innings. So I don't think he ever really pitched into that starter role. But I mean, big right-hander with powerful stuff. I mean, teams have new needs for those. And as a, you know, undrafted free agent, that's a good bet for the Orioles to make to see if he can develop into that.
Yeah. And just Auburn in general, obviously it's been a great run for Auburn baseball, and they've had a good amount of arms drafted over the last couple of years. Of course, Tanner Burns went this year to the Indians. There were a good amount of pitchers in 2019. Of course, Casey Mize in 2018. To see him in that staff, compared to the bullpen guys and the starters, you know, where does he kind of fall with those guys? Was it, you know, that you could see that there was a big difference between him and some of those higher picked guys, or did he start to, you know, get a lot closer to those guys talent wise by the end of his career?
No, I don't think he's quite on the same tier as those guys you mentioned, Tanner Burns, Bailey Horn, Casey Mize, Keegan Thompson. He just never pitched like that at college. But I think the fact that, you know, he was drafted based on his stuff is a credit to what Auburn has in Butch Thompson as head coach, who's, you know, been coaching pitchers in the SEC for 20 years. This year worked with Tim Hudson, who had good things to say about him. I think it's a credit to that development and that coaching staff. So, you know, I don't think he's, I think there's a reason he went undrafted. I don't think, even if this was a 40 round draft, I think if he did get drafted, it would have been late. I don't think he was ever going to develop into a first round, you know, or a top 5 round talent, but I mean, he's got raw ability, which is something that, you know, a major league organization can mold.
Last thing for you, Josh, before we let you go, you've mentioned a couple times with Tim Hudson being there and working with him and all the pitchers. Obviously, there's a lot of great pitching minds across Division I college baseball. But, you know, what kind of advantage do you think it's given Auburn, and even talking to the coaching staff and the players? You know, what is that advantage having a guy like Tim Hudson be on that staff?
I think it's instant credibility, for one. I mean, if you're a 18 to 22 year old pitcher and Tim Hudson, who played, you know, 17 plus seasons in the major league, starts talking to you about what you're doing, you're going to listen to that. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is talking to pitchers. He wasn't really a guy who came in and said, all right, here's what you were doing, here's what I'm telling you to do, now you go do this. He was very much a guy who said, I see what you're doing, I know you're talented, you wouldn't be here if you wouldn't. I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to learn what you do. Then I'm going to try to, you know, offer tips, suggestions, tweaks that can help you get a little bit better. I think him having all that experience doing that in the majors and working with so many pitchers and pitching coaches in the majors, to bring that down to a college program, his alma mater, and impart that onto, you know, to college pitchers, that's huge. And, you know, Ryan Watson didn't spend much time with Tim Hudson as a coach. Tim Hudson was named to that job, I believe, in January, after serving as a grad assistant in the fall. So really only a couple months. But I'm sure he picked up some things working with Tim Hudson that he'll carry with him going forward.
Yeah, and hopefully that spells good things for just Ryan Watson, but Auburn pitchers in general, maybe getting them ready for that next level and then working with guys who pitched in the big leagues as well. But Josh, thank you so much for joining us, letting us know about one of the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings in the Auburn righty, Ryan Watson. And thanks again. Hope you're staying safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Wanted to tell you about Built Bars. They're tasty and they're healthy. It's a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. You can get it in 16 different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate, easy to eat, and good for you as well. Great for a health-conscious person. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Just 20 grams of protein in, for example, the peanut butter brownie bar, which that's the best flavor combination right there. Peanut butter brownie, you can't beat that one. Just 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. You can't beat that in a protein bar that's good for you, and it really tastes good as well. So you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that is in the warehouse or that store happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com, a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So again, our thanks to Josh Vitale, who covers Auburn baseball, for coming on to tell us about one of the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings, the right-handed reliever out of Auburn, Ryan Watson. And he was really good this year and really good at the end of last season. He's got good stuff, pretty good fastball, works it up in the zone, solid breaking ball as well. He may only be a two-pitch guy as he goes through the minors, maybe a three-pitch guy, but that's kind of what happens when you've been a reliever your entire college career. It looks like he'll be a reliever at the professional level as well, and the Orioles hope whenever minor league baseball comes back, looking like in 2021, they can start to progress him through the system as well, and he can be one of the big undrafted free agent signing pickups. One of the guys who, if there were a draft this year, he's probably a later round selection because he was a senior. Not a lot of leverage signing-wise, but he probably would have been picked late if it were a 40-round draft, however, just five rounds. So the Orioles scoop him up as one of their six undrafted free agent signings. We will get to the other five. We will have an episode for each of them. Got some writers, got some coaches who coach some of these guys coming on the pod in the next couple of weeks, talk about some of these exciting undrafted free agent signings. One more thing before we go. We know we haven't talked about it a lot on this podcast, but it's been going on around baseball. The fight between the owners and the MLBPA and Commissioner Rob Manfred as well to try and get a season in here in 2020. Of course, we're not at the point where it's safe enough to play a season. All the leagues in the U.S. are trying to work this out and how they're going to restart their season. There's been some plans from the NBA and the NHL. The NFL has said that they're kind of sticking to the course of their season. Of course, golf and NASCAR are back in the U.S. as other sports try to come back, like the WNBA and the MLS and the NWSL as well, making their plans to come back. But baseball's been behind the eight ball because by the owners who just refuse to pay the players a full prorated salary, are really the ones holding this up. And if you compare it to a sport like football or a sport like basketball, even in the thought of just the amount of contact and how safe it would be to play, baseball seems on the safer side of those sports. However, of course, these coronavirus cases are going to be the final decider on whether or not a season gets played. But the owners are not making it easy to play a season. They've just continue to propose basically the same thing to the players, and the union has, of course, rejected all of those proposals. The union was sitting down today to talk about whether or not they would respond to Major League Baseball's latest proposal of 60 games. They've talked about putting the DH in both leagues, expanded playoffs as well. It does look like Rob Manfred's going to have to get involved and somehow just institute a season that would be around 50 games if they do want to move forward this year. And of course, it's going to bleed into next year because after the 2021 season, the CBA is up and there will be labor negotiations, and they've basically already started here in 2020 as we try to get a shortened Major League Baseball season, which includes, I mean, basically at this point, you pretty much know there won't be any minor league season in 2020. We just want to give you an update on that. Of course, Rob Manfred, at one point last week, saying there'll definitely be baseball, then 4 days later saying, well, we don't know if there'll be baseball. It's been back and forth whether things are positive or negative. And it's just important to remember, you know, even if talks are going extremely well, and even if at this point the owners and the players had agreed on a framework for a 2020 season, the coronavirus isn't going away. And it's still stopping all these leagues from playing right now. And you look around sports, I mean, college football and college athletics, for example, finally letting the players come back to campus for workouts. Hundreds of players and staff members in the last week testing positive for the coronavirus on those college campuses. It was released yesterday that 40 people in Major League Baseball between players and staff had recently tested positive for the coronavirus, including at a couple of the spring training sites in Florida, where the second wave of spikes of the virus have already begun down in Florida, and teams are already talking about moving spring training up to their home stadiums around the country instead of going down to Florida. So just another issue to remember. And even if baseball did pull things together from a negotiation standpoint, it seems like the coronavirus is definitely going to be the final decider, because it's got to be about the players' health, and not just the players, but the people who are working at the stadiums. If they're going to play in a bubble, you know, the people working at the hotels and the restaurants, wherever that bubble may be, if that is the case. And it's just a lot to think about. And even in the NBA, you know, they've had all these plans, and they still had players test positive. And the NHL as well, they have this big elaborate plan, but one of their best players, Austin Matthews, just tested positive the other day. So it just feels like that even if they can agree to something, that the coronavirus might still stop it and delay it even further. But bigger picture here, the owners have essentially turned what should be just discussion about this 2020 season and this season alone into a head start on labor negotiations that would come after the 2021 season. And it is a little worrisome to think about what would happen after 2021 and the status of baseball going forward after next season. But of course, the hope is that they can come to an agreement. And even if that means Rob Manfred putting in those 50 games, and hopefully it becomes healthy enough at some point to play baseball in 2020, because we'd all love to watch the Orioles, even though probably won't be a great product on the field for the next couple of years. But if you need baseball, remember, got the KBO still going on, the league in Taiwan, and then the NPB started up on Friday, the league over in Japan. Adam Jones with three hits in his first three games for the Oryx Buffaloes. We've learned quickly the Buffaloes the last few years have been one of the worst teams in the league. Hopefully Adam Jones can maybe turn them around. They went 1-2 in their first series of the year. Nine players in that 12-team league who have either played for the big league Orioles or at least in the Orioles system at some point in their career. So some familiar names around the league over in Japan as they started baseball on Friday as well. So just something to look out for, some more live baseball. And, of course, getting to see Adam Jones play is always great. If you're liking what you're hearing on the podcast, we'd love you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you're listening to this podcast at the moment. Give us a rating and a review if you can. Really, really helps us out here on the pod. Later this week, we'll have two more episodes. We will continue to have some interviews about the Orioles' undrafted free agent signings. So if you want to learn about the six guys the O's have signed so far, not a lot that you guys probably know about them. There are probably some under-the-radar college players. Most of them are, but we are going to get the scoop on these undrafted guys and see if they can make headway in the Orioles system in the next couple of years. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Maybe next up, if you're looking for some more baseball content, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB.